This is Christine Annavoltson at OvercomingSexualAbuse.com, and this is Truth Talks. Today on Truth Talks, we're discussing the fear of being re-victimized. And I have with me Bethany Ruck, my daughter and friend and co-founder of Overcoming Sexual Abuse. Hi, Bethany.
Hi.
Bethany and I are both in the process of healing from our sexual abuse, and somewhere along the way, we realized that we both had a fear of being re-victimized. We felt like we had this giant target on us that said, come and get me, that I won't stand up for myself.
Well, I think it was a valid fear because we have been re-victimized.
Yeah, many times. We've both been the victims of sexual assault.
After our childhood sexual abuse.
Right.
The abuse taught us that our boundaries could be crossed, that anybody could do with us what they wanted. Part of taking the target off of our back is setting boundaries and standing up for those boundaries, which is very difficult to do as an abuse survivor.
But we still found ourselves re-victimized at times, and we learned to use those to help us to heal. We took those situations and we examined the way that we responded to those things, what we thought and believed about those things so that we could gauge our progress and so that we could use those things to help us to make more progress. So Bethany, you want to talk about the subway incident?
I was getting off the subway one morning very early and standing on the escalator. There was a man behind me, and I didn't realize that he was behind me. Usually I'm pretty aware of my surroundings, but I was faced forward, and he stuck his fingers between my legs and tried to touch me down there. And I immediately turned around and started screaming at him. And it was really funny because I had my pepper spray in my hand. I could have used it at any time. Instead, I cussed him out. I was screaming, telling him, "What do you think you're doing?" He continued to say, "Sorry, sorry, sorry." And I kept saying, "You're not sorry. If you were sorry, you wouldn't have done that." And by the time we got to the top of the escalator, he was running away, scared. I was very shaken up from it, and when I got home, I was examining my feelings and how I felt about my reaction. I was happy that I had a reaction. In the past, I have frozen up. This time, I actually reacted. I defended myself. And even though I didn't pepper spray him, I still had a reaction, and I was so happy by the progress of that.
I remember one thing that you said when you got home is you were questioning, could you have gotten in trouble for using the pepper spray?
Right. I actually saw a police officer later that day, and I grabbed him and said, if I used pepper spray in this situation, what would that be okay? I mean, he didn't have any weapons, and he said, yes, that was fine. I was so afraid of getting in trouble for defending myself in that way, when it was a completely appropriate way to defend myself.
Yeah, and I can identify with that feeling or that thought, that belief that if I do defend myself, I'll get in trouble. Because the abuse taught me that even things like wiggling or squealing or doing anything got me in more trouble.
As children, it's very difficult to protect our boundaries, but we are adults now,
mm-hmm.
and we have the ability to. So even though we were trained for so long that we don't have that right, we do.
And it is a matter of training. I mean, we follow the same pattern our whole lives, and it's not something that we break in one day. And that happens step by step by step. Just like what you shared, Bethany, that maybe you didn't do everything that you wished you would have done, but you made amazing progress from the last time you were violated.
Right. If I would have been in that situation a year ago, I don't think I would have had the same strong reaction. Instead of going into my shell and freezing up, I stood up and I did something. And I was happy with the passion that I had and that I thought it was right to defend myself, that I was worthy of it.
Yes, that you were worthy. I like that. I had an incident that happened to me about a year ago. I was with my husband, and my husband goes for frequent walks in the area and knows just about everybody. He stops to talk to the homeless people. He talks to the musicians who are selling their CDs and anybody who just regularly frequents Hollywood Boulevard. One of the people that he talks to on occasion was out one night while I was walking with him, and he wanted to introduce me to him. As I was approaching him, I offered my hand so he could shake my hand. The man ignored that, grabbed me, held me close, put his sweaty face up against mine, and said to my husband, "What's yours is mine." I was shocked. I ran back home. I was so mad. And it took me some time to examine the situation. There were a couple of things that stood out to me. Is one, I didn't say anything to him at the time. I didn't show any displeasure. I was afraid of embarrassing him. I covered up for him the same way that I covered up for my original abusers. And my job was to protect them, and I was still in that same role. And the other thing was that I was afraid of embarrassing my husband. I didn't want my husband to be embarrassed by a wife that was uncooperative or unfriendly. And I realized that coincides also with the way that I felt like I was protecting my mother. She was very, very image conscious, and she wanted to put on this facade of this happy family, so I went along with that. I devalued myself so I could protect these other people. And I didn't realize that I thought this. If you would have asked me 10 minutes before that, I would have said, "I believe that I'm worth protecting. I would stand up for myself." That incident showed what I really believe in my heart. And so that's what I had to address. Even though I was treated that way as a child, they may have treated me like I wasn't worth protecting, like I wasn't worth anything. The truth is that no matter what happened to me, that I was still just as valuable, and I was worth protecting.
I had a situation on the subway again. That's where all the craziness happens. And I was standing there, and all of a sudden, next to me, this homeless man just appeared. One minute he wasn't there, and the next minute he was. And he looked me up and down, and he said, "Hello there." And he said, "How are you doing today?" And I was so uncomfortable by how close he was that I just said, "Oh, I'm just really tired." I don't know why that came out of my mouth. He grabbed my arm, and he said, "You know what you need? You need a hug." And he started getting closer. He already was very close, and he started getting closer, and I backed away. And I said, "No, I don't." And he said, "What? Why won't you give me a hug?" And I said, "I'm sorry, I don't give hugs to people I don't know." And he said, "That's because you're with the KKK." And he started screaming it through the subway. And everyone was looking. And not everybody on the subway knew the situation or knew that conversation between us. All they heard was that I was the bad guy. But for the first time, I was okay with that. I think it's important to get to the place that no matter the consequences, it may even embarrass you to stand up for your boundaries.
Yeah, no matter what anybody else believes about you, you know it's not true, and you're still worth defending.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone will believe you. We're getting okay with that.
I think in examining that last subway situation, I wish I would have reacted sooner because he was so close to me. But again, I was happy that I actually did react. And I can say I'm going to practice this with other situations. And it may not be physical boundary crossing, but it can be other things where people
misuse your property.
Right, or say things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think every time that we really stand up for ourselves, we're saying, "I'm worth it. I'm important. I'm valuable. Mm-hmm. I'm worthy of that protection." Those situations helped us to heal. So we use something that was harmful against us, and we use that to actually help us.
And I've seen a tremendous amount of growth in both of us by using those tactics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm pretty proud of us.
Go us.
High five. Well, for the rest of our lives, we're going to have to deal with boundary crossings.
Right.
And that's true of abuse survivors and everyone else, that we're getting better and better equipped to do so. So, Bethany, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
This has been Christine Anna Volson and Bethany Ruck at Overcoming Sexual Abuse with Truth Talks. Thanks so much for joining us.